Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today's episode is brought to you by John G. John G makes trail running essentials backed by a 5-year run everywhere guarantee designed to go further. Perfect for your next FKT. Shop now at johng.com with code FKT for 10% off. Join me today as I talk with Meg Landymore, who just set the Women's Unsupported AT Four State Challenge FKT, running the 43-mile route in 8 hours and 22 minutes. Learn how a busy career woman and mom makes time to train and set records, and the value she finds in getting out there for herself in today's episode. Thanks, Meg, so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Heather. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting with you about your AT Four State Challenge FKT. To start out, can you tell our listeners what four states are involved in this challenge and how long it is? Just a little brief overview of the route.
Sure. So the four state challenge, like we often refer to it, in at least in Maryland, is like the quad state challenge, is Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, and Virginia, and essentially hitting the borders of each of these states. And you actually only run through Maryland and West Virginia.
Okay. And how long is it?
It's roughly 43. I used two different things when I was doing it. One gave me 43.5 and one gave me 45.5, but
right.
Somewhere in there.
About something like that.
Yeah.
And I know that this is actually a really popular challenge amongst thru hikers on the Appalachian Trail. I know there's thru hikers who, you know, they'll camp right at the border and they'll just get up early and then they hike all the way to Penmar, which is the Pennsylvania border. And it's like a thing to do. So there's a lot of history with lots of people doing this, like whether it's thru hikers or just people who are going out to do this as an FKT. And I'm curious why you chose unsupported, because there is ample opportunity. There are a million roads in this route. So I'm kind of curious why you chose unsupported.
So for me, I would love to do FKTs like all the time, but it always comes down to family planning, work planning, and scheduling and everything else. And so when I do find time to like schedule something in that can fit, like it needs to be as bare bones as possible. So like if I was going to do it at like start at 3:00 in the morning so I could be done and home sooner, and it was Warren Doyle who was like, "You're going to start in the dark for a record?" And I was like, "Well, I mean," he was like, "Don't do that." And I was like, "Okay, all right, I'll wait for setup." So, you know, I found a friend who lives near the trail and runs on it almost every day out there. And she was willing because she also gets up at like 3 a.m. every day to run. And I was like, "Can you drive me from one end to the other?" And she was like, "Absolutely." And I was like, "Hallelujah." And I did debate supported, but my other reasoning, so I've done the route a handful of times, pieces of the route, like more than I can count. But I've never gotten to try it at like speed, right? I've done it with groups and I've done it hiking. And so it's been, I didn't really know what I could actually do. I wasn't really sure. And the unsupported definitely looked very doable for me. Whereas the supported was, you know, like an 802, which is, I mean, maybe now I'm like, well, maybe I could have made that. But it felt really tight as a first try. And I was like, you know what? I really want to go out there and just have a day on the trail to myself and like see what I can do. And it is only 1 hour and 10 minutes from my home. So I wasn't worried like if I failed, I would just go try again.
Yeah. And you brought up the supported record. And that was actually one of my questions for you. I mean, you went unsupported and ultimately you were only about 20 minutes shy of the women's supported time out there. So did you realize that while you were out there? Were you thinking about that? Are you thinking about it now? Like, are you thinking about giving it another shot? Like, clearly you probably have it in your capacity to be faster than 8:20, especially supported. Like, I just kind of wonder what your thoughts are on that.
So I hope so. I mean, if a couple of people that I texted that I was going to be doing it, you know, I let them know. I was like, well, this is just the first one, right? Like, There's a double listed on there that nobody's done yet, and that's more my style. I'm like, longer and slower is much nicer. so, you know, this is probably the shortest FKT I could do because I don't have, like, the speed that I used to, and, like, longer is better, but then again, like, life and family and everything. So, yeah, I definitely wanted to go back and do the supported. It's just, again, timing and things like that. So it's on the list. And now I'm pretty confident I could do it because this wasn't wasn't a great setup for me to have a successful day. But I mean, the weather was nice, so it wasn't bad, but I went into it pretty exhausted after a really rough week. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think in your report, you mentioned that you just didn't feel great right off the bat. So, can you talk a little bit about that? Like, were you questioning whether you should go do it? Like, were you thinking about postponing it? Like, what was going on there?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's kind of been on the list for a while and finding time, and I was going to do it in October. And then a friend reached out on the same date that I was planning to do it. He invited me to do a perimeter run around New York City with friends. And I was like, oh, I mean, this personal endeavor thing that like I could technically do any time, or like this awesome like community friends run. I was like, yeah, I got to go to New York. So I was like, well, I'll get to it soon. And then, you know, soon is a long time. So I finally had this weekend. We pinned it down. And I mean, March was pretty open. So it was like I could really do it again if I failed like again the same month. And I was like, all right, that'll be good. So I'll start on Saturday. And then we looked at the weather and it was going to rain the entire day on Saturday. And I was like, yeah, so it's going to be Sunday right before going back to work. I'm like, okay, well, I can make that work. And then the week leading up to, I had like a very stressful scenario with a patient at my medical practice. So I was really stressed about that, like already like tearful during the week and like not getting sleep. And then to make it more complicated, we have a new puppy that we got.
Oh, boy.
And he turns out to be a Belgian Malinois mixed with an Australian Shepherd. So he was a little more than we bargained for, and he likes to leap over a fence, and so it created some issues. And anyway, Friday before this attempt, he got over the fence, and it was like very humiliating, like for me, because it was my fault essentially, right? Like I had him on leash and he got away from me. And he and our neighbor's dog fought. And so like, I was bawling. I mean, hysterically crying with them. Like, I don't know what to do to take care of my dog. I'm doing my hardest. And literally walked in, sat on the floor and cried for like 3 hours. My husband got home. He's like, and I was like, I don't know what to do. So it was like that kind of a week, you know, like most extreme stress that like is like, I debated not sharing all of that on here, but I'm like, no, that's the story. And that's what makes it good. Right. But it was that bad that like I woke up with like sinus pain the next day from crying so much. And I'm like, am I really going to go out and try to like run my best tomorrow? I was like, whatever. It's going to be sunny and beautiful. I already planned the time out. My kids are with my husband. Like everything's planned. So I'm like, I'm going to go get some time on trail. Whatever happens, happens. So that's kind of how I started out. And I really just didn't know what to expect.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's really interesting. And I know that probably a lot of our listeners can relate to that, maybe more so than people who do, you know, FKTs all the time or run professionally. Like there is such a balance between life, you know, and all the responsibilities and things that happen and like what we do out on the trail. I think it's refreshing and like encouraging to hear like you can have a terrible week where everything goes wrong and still go out and set an FKT.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it is really important to just, I don't know, to just allow that mess to be okay, you know? I mean, it depends how much you throw into your FKT that, you know, I mean, there are obviously routes that it's minimum of thousands of dollars to commit to and travel. And luckily, this one was in my own backyard. So, you know, I probably put in $50. So, you know, it wasn't a big loss if it didn't work out. But that's something you have to weigh just like any other adventure, I guess.
Since this is a 4-state challenge, but you really only actually run across 2 states because you basically start at the Pennsylvania-Maryland border and you went southbound, right? So, yeah. So you start at the Pennsylvania-Maryland border, you run across Maryland, then West Virginia, and then you end at the West Virginia-Virginia border. Did you kind of break it down in your head, like by state? Like, were you thinking, you know, this many miles in Maryland, or was it like more like interim points to like to the top of this climb or to this water source, or how did you break it down in your head?
So interim points really, because I mean, so I typically run from Route 40, right? That parking lot is like right off Route 70. And it's the perfect spot to kind of jump on the trail, and you can get good mileage north for an out and back, or good mileage south, and you get But I pretty much, you know, that middle 20 miles I do all the time. And then the stuff on the ends, I don't do as much. But I was lucky to get a friend to run. And so Warren was passing through Maryland and he was like, let me drop you off somewhere and figure it out. I was like, okay. So he drove me and my friend Richard up to the Pennsylvania Maryland line. And we ran that first 20 miles back to Route 40 back to my car, like 3 weeks before, I think. And then the weekend before, I got two of my other friends and we went down and did the Harper's Ferry section from wherever, that parking lot right up before the CNO canal, and went to the end there. And so that way I had seen those other points to kind of have a fresh note in my mind of where things were. And I mean, I was surprised there was so much water on the trail and stuff too, which is unusual. Sometimes Maryland, the biggest thing is that it can be very dry and have like one water source. But I had plenty, which I probably didn't utilize that well, but I had them available.
I think the thing that always gets me heading south from Penmar is, at least, you know, for anybody who's familiar with like the Appalachian Trail, like Pennsylvania has this terrible reputation as being supremely rocky. And when you leave Pennsylvania going south into Maryland, the first thing you do is walk on rocks for like, what, 10 miles or something? Like, it's so rocky. When you did that training run, did that surprise you? Like, were you glad you did that training run to plan for that? Like, I don't know, like, did the rocks play a factor? Like, were they, I mean, I feel like every time I'm there, they're slippery.
So it's so funny. So most of the time that I've been on those rocks has been in the dark. But then like when we did the, when I mean, a friend, we ran the entire AT in like weekend segments and such. Like when I had done it then, I hit it during the day. But that was back in 2021 now, I think. And then my husband last May for his 40th birthday decided he was going to do Maryland. So I got to go up and down those. Like I ran up them to meet him and came back down during the day. And so now like I'd been pretty accustomed to them. But I feel like you always want to see that area twice just because the trail is a little hard to follow up the rocks all the time too. So I felt pretty confident. And like the day that we had run it, it was frozen. So it was very like solid, which was nice. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I started out, it was like wet, slick, had just finished raining a few hours prior. And I was like, okay, do not fall on the rocks. That would be such a long day.
Yes. Terrible. You mentioned maybe not availing yourself of the water sources as much. Can you talk a little bit about your hydration and nutrition strategy?
Yeah. So my nutrition is always a work in progress. I wish I could say that I've got it figured out, but it's always my weak point. It's like I know what I'm supposed to do. I just have a hard time getting myself to do it consistently. And it's usually because like when I start out, like I didn't feel like I was pushing particularly hard starting out, but immediately on that climb, like I got nauseated and everything else, which is pretty standard for every hard effort I do. And you know, so I'm sure my heart rate was higher than I should have let it be and all that stuff. So I always start out a little bit nauseous and then I'm playing like this catch up game, even though I start hydrated and fueled. And then I've definitely learned that I have to take in more salt and I really try to get like that 60 grams of carbs minimum per hour. So, I'm trying to think of the brand, it's like Free Flow or something like that. And they have like make your own gel. And it's like, I swear it's like unicorn flavor or something. It's awesome. So a big it's like a grape fruity flavor.
Okay.
It'll taste like a gel, so it's not like fabulous, but it's tolerable. I made a big pouch of that, which has about 360 calories, and then I had a couple of precision fuel gels, which are 90 grams. And then some other treats here and there, like Exact bars or like these super yummy little like strawberry treats that have like 25 grams of carbs each. And then I had like Element tea on me and things. So the plan was that I was supposed to be getting more water to refill and put more salt in and things like that, which worked for the first half. And then through like the end, where was I? Like Gaplin Road, I've refilled my bottles but didn't add anything else to them. And I have added more salt. But I was like, I felt like I was really crushed for time, even though I clearly wasn't. That's just how my brain works. So I was like, oh, I just got to go. And then by the time I got to the CNO and I was like, ooh, I really need more salt. But I had like no water left to mix it in. I was like, well, I only have an hour left. I'll be fine. And it was fine, but it slowed me down a lot that last hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like the CNO is kind of where you hope to be moving quickly because it's, you know, actually the only part of the AT that's flat.
Right.
I don't know. For me, transitioning down like off of, what is it called? Weaverton Cliffs or whatever, and then hitting the CNO. It's always such an awkward transition because you've been like kind of on hills and like rocks and up and down and trail. And then you just like hit this pancake flat, like CNO. And I just always feel like my body's like, oh, what am I doing now? Like, was it hard for you to kind of make that transition so late in the game? Cause you would have run 30 plus miles at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I always hate the CNO. I mean, it's beautiful. So I hate to like say anything negative about it and it's a gorgeous trail, but it's always like there's other races in Maryland, like Stone Mill 50 and stuff that do chunks on there. And you're always like, oh, it's going to be so easy. I'll make time there. And it's always like your legs just feel like lead the whole time and moving on a treadmill, right? Like doesn't seem to pass at all. You're like, okay, this is terrible. But yeah, and I actually had a really hard time coming down Weaverton's Cliffs because I hit Weaverton Cliffs around like 3 PM on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. So it was like everyone and their children and everything was hiking up this climb and down this climb. And I'm like, hi, excuse me. Sorry. I'm trying not to be annoying. You know, and so, you know, somebody commented, they're like, you shouldn't be moving that fast on all these rocks. How are you doing that? And I was like, well, I'm trying to set a record. So yeah, it was kind of a tough transition because, you know, you're really like slowing down, trying not to be that rude person, especially as like, you know, setting a record. It's not a race. It's like, I'm out here doing my own thing. Like, I don't need to, you know, be obnoxious about it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Were there a lot of people on the trail other than Weaverton Cliffs, or was that kind of the only place you really saw people?
That was really the only place. Well, that's not true. Actually, coming down from the Appalachian, like like Annapolis High Rocks, there we go. And like right above Route 40, that climb's always packed with people too. So there was some going around people. But that, you know, Appalachian like stairwell that they create is like wide enough for 8 people. So usually it's easy to get around, whereas Weaverton Cliffs is like a single track.
Yeah, Weaverton Cliffs is a much more narrow trail than over by Annapolis Rocks, for sure. Yeah. I know that for me, often a choke point is when you get into Harper's Ferry and you have to like go up the staircase.
Yeah.
Like there's always like a ton of people like on that staircase or like standing at the bottom of the staircase looking around confused because they don't know where they are or how to get to where they're going. And
yeah, that too. And the whole bridge was packed. I was like, okay, excuse me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, after you get through Harper's Ferry, so I think it's interesting because I think the AT kind of goes in and out of the West Virginia-Virginia border quite a few times. So this, though, ends at the first place that you leave West Virginia for Virginia, correct?
Yeah.
And how about how far out of Harper's Ferry is that?
Let's see. I'm like, it's about 2.5-3 miles.
Okay.
So it's not far, but that was, even that I was really unsure about until I finished, actually.
Yeah.
I had a friend that lives in Harper's Ferry, like, send me a picture of the sign. So I had a rough idea what it was. And I pulled up a lot of the other records that were on there to kind of look at, like, where it finished. So I knew... like, I knew it was roughly halfway between Harper's Ferry and Keys Gap there. And so I, like, when we did the practice run, I still didn't see the sign. I couldn't find it. I knew it had to be around there somewhere. And we had come to this campground that I knew was at least far enough past that. So when I did the record, I actually planned to just go to that campground if I didn't see it. But instead, that last half mile, like, I literally was, like, jogging and looking backwards at every single tree. And I was like, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. And I was like, you should just run forward. Right. I was ready to be done. And then luckily, I, like, saw a hiker. And I was like, you didn't happen to see a West Virginia, Virginia sign, did you? And he was like, yeah, it was, like, 400 meters back. And I was like, yes. So yeah, hesitated, sorry, when I got there. Because I was like, I wasn't even sure. I was, like, staring at it. And I was like, oh, good. I was like, wait, do I stop or should I keep going? And I was like, no, you should stop and watch now.
Yeah, I was actually wondering about that because that's not a big sign.
Yeah.
It's a very tiny little sign. And it wouldn't, it is there a sign for you coming from the north?
No.
Or is it, yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So you're literally like looking at the trees behind you. Like, I can't even imagine like if you'd been there in the dark, like searching for this sign.
Yeah, which is why I was like, at minimum, I'll just pick a point further past. I know when you guys check the FKT stuff, you just trim stuff if it's for extra or whatever. Like,
right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, luckily you found it because that was kind of one of the, when I was, you know, researching this, I was like, wait a minute. I don't think that that's even assigned, you know, terminus or whatever. And then, because there's the big road sign at Keys Gap. You know, yeah. That says, you know, welcome to Virginia or whatever. But yeah, and then I saw your picture and I was like, okay, that is, there is a tiny sign there, but yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it surprised me. Yeah.
So I like to ask everybody what their highest high and lowest low was.
I mean, lowest low is easier.
Usually is.
It's a memorable part, right? I mean, I think it was really memorable, like, coming up that climb out of Harper's Ferry because I had literally run it the weekend before with my girlfriends, and I was like, this isn't that bad a climb. This is going to be fine. And then when I was doing it at the end, it was, like, 23-minute pace, and I was like, why can't I move my body? you know, so that was probably the lowest part of the day. I mean, luckily there wasn't, it was a fairly like neutral run overall, right? Like I didn't start out really elated. I like was coming off of this rough week. So I was kind of flat throughout. But there were definitely, I'm trying to think of that after Washington Monument, you cross the road that I'm blanking on the name, but then there's this section and there's a ton of pine needles and it's just like, it's, there's climbing, but it's like very runnable and smooth. And I loved that section. And it was like the beautiful part of the day where it didn't feel too hot yet, but it was still really sunny. And I was like, I love being on that part of the trail. So yeah.
Were you pretty focused on like your watch? Cause I noticed like your report is really detailed. Like I was at this pace for this many miles and this pace for this many miles. And, yeah. Were you like really just checking in with your watch a lot on this or?
Yeah. Kind of unfortunate. I mean, not unfortunate, but so every other FKT I've done, I've essentially like set a record. And so I don't really know what it's like to chase someone else's time. And like, I put my own pressure on myself and things like that, but I wanted, this was kind of an experiment for me of like what that would be like. And it was hard because I like literally from the start, I was like, all right, all I have to do is maintain like 5 miles per hour. But even when I was like over it, I was like, okay, so if I maintain this for this amount of time, then I can finally like take a walk break or I can slow down a little bit. Right. So it's always like bartering with myself. But no matter how far above that I am, right. Like I got up, I don't know exactly, but like 5.6 miles per hour average. I was like, well, but I still have to keep going because what if I slow down a lot or like something happens in those last 2 miles? It would be such a bummer to blow it now, right? So like that pressure goes away. So I'm always checking my watch and like just kind of looking at like my average because, you know, watches and like every second, who knows? But if I'm maintaining at least that five or getting myself above that, then I knew that I was on pace to make it work. And again, as a mom, I always have this like the sooner I can be done, the sooner I can get home.
You mentioned that you haven't really been chasing somebody's time before. You've just been establishing records. So I'm kind of wondering like what your takeaway after having this experience, like what are your thoughts on that? Like, obviously you said, you know, you kind of had to watch your watch and, you know, be constantly bartering with yourself, but you know, what were your thoughts on this? Like overall of like, you know, going out and breaking an actual record versus just establishing one for the first time.
It was definitely different. I enjoyed it during, it was more, a little bit more fulfilling at the end, right? Like I almost teared up for a second and I was like, oh cool, I finally did this. And I actually like did it. Which I surely didn't get on like you know, double scar or the Appalachian high route, like those were like, okay, I apparently can do this. That's cool. Like, but that was it, you know? So it was more fulfilling to do it chasing someone else's record. And I'm still honestly on the fence if that's like what I want out of it. Like really for me, it's just the adventure. But then it's like playing with it. So like, hopefully I have to decide if I'm going to fully commit yet. But I'm hopefully doing the Vermont Long Trail attempt this summer. And that's going after a very tight record that really amazing people have done. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah. That is a very competitive one. Are you thinking about doing that unsupported as well?
No. So Warren Doyle is going to support me for that. And then my friend Celia would be my other like key support person. But yeah, Warren wants me to give that a shot. And like I said, I'm like, ooh, I mean, I think I'm a strong runner. I don't know if I'm that strong, but he thinks something and we'll see. So I'm going up in June to like play on the northern part of it that I haven't seen. And then I'll make a final call.
Right. Yeah. I've heard that the northern part is very, very different than the part that you see on the AT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck on that. I look forward to, maybe we'll have you back on the show to talk about that record.
Cool. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. Before we wrap up, because like when we were talking about at the beginning, you know, so many of our listeners, you know, are working FKTs or just big adventures into their already busy lives. Do you have any tips for balancing being a mom and like having a career with training and getting out and having these adventures?
I mean, I think my biggest tip is just not to compare what like you mentioned, what these elite runners or even just people without kids compared to people with kids or people that are allowed to work from home and people that have to go to work, right? Like you can't compare your situation to others because it can be debilitating. I mean, I average like 40 miles a week. I don't put down anything amazing. I wish I had more time to be on trail, but like keeping your goals like realistic to where you're at and like, I don't know, just remembering that really it's just for fun. That should be like your number one thing all the time.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. I think comparison is a huge, huge issue. I mean, you can really get very much in your head if you're comparing yourself to others.
Yeah. And it's tough. I mean, FKTs are literally to compare yourself to others. So it's like a 22, but I mean, make it your own. If you know that, I think that's part of what makes FKT so special too, is that there are so many different ways to do it. You can make your own. If you know, if the short one is too fast, then like do a double, create something new. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the things I really like about FKTs as opposed to races is that you can literally choose the route and the style that match your skill set the best, you know, and as well as like FKTs can be for almost anyone, you know, you can get out and have this adventure and you can tailor it to yourself, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely. Cool. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the show today and chatting with us about the AT.
Yeah. John. Thank you. It was fun. Yeah. I'm so glad I got to finally go out and do it. So yeah, hope they'll go supported. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely get out there and see what else you can do. It'll be great. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you.
Thanks again, Meg, for coming on the show. You can read about her FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow her adventures on Instagram at mostextremegirl_adventures.